From Jakarta, here is the Voice of Indonesia with English program. Presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen our broadcast and online streaming, voanews.id.
VOI listener, wherever you are, how are you today? I hope all of you are doing great. I'm Rahma. I will accompany you in the 60 minutes ahead with various interesting English programs from Voice of Indonesia. First, we present you the news, followed by commentary, various information, as well as entertainment. Now let's begin with the news, so stay with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id or shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz.
Here's the news. First, the headlines. President Joko Widodo encourages economic cooperation on the use of local power. Indonesia backs UN resolution on religious symbol violation. Chinese President Xi Jinping, China opens to deepen partnership with Indonesia, says Xi. And now the news in details. The first news. Indonesian President Joko Widodo encourages the strengthening of mutually beneficial economic cooperation between Indonesia and China on the use of local labor and being environmentally friendly. This was stated by Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno Marsudi in her statement regarding the bilateral meeting between President Joko Widodo and Chinese President Xi Jinping on Thursday in Chengdu, China. Retno Marsudi said President Joko Widodo paid a working visit to China to meet President Xi Jinping's invitation to coincide to China with the 10 years of the Comprehensive Strategic Partnership of the Republic of Indonesia and the Peoples of Republic of China. The main bilateral meeting discussed strengthening economic cooperation, which is mutually beneficial, always considering the use of local workers and friendly to the environment. Retno Marsudi also said that the two heads of state also discussed cooperation in the fields of trade, health, and investment, regional and global issues, including Indo-Pacific and ASEAN issues. The bilateral meeting resulted in 8 agreements, starting from the signing of a plan of action in the health sector, an agreement to expand market access for Indonesian products in China, and a number of memorandums of understanding. Apart from the bilateral meeting with President Xi Jinping, President Joko Widodo also held business meetings with Chinese businessmen and investors and attended the opening ceremony of the Universiade the Biennial Sport event for students from all over the world. The second news. Indonesia supported the recent adaptation of a United Nations resolution on violence against religious symbols or books that constitute a violation of international law. According to the Permanent Representative of Indonesia to the UN, Armanata Nasir, on July 25, 2023. The UN General Assembly adopted a resolution entitled Promoting Interreligious and Intercultural Dialogue and Tolerance in Countering Hate Speech. Their resolution was drafted by Morocco and co-sponsored by 47 countries, including Indonesia, Malaysia, and the Philippines. As Nasir told Antara on Wednesday, the resolution was adopted in the wake of multiple burnings and desecration of Qurans in European countries, including a recent incident on June 28th. When Sawan Momika, a 37-year-old Iraqi refugee in Sweden, burned pages of the Quran in front of Stockholm's largest mosque during Eid al-Adha, he emphasized that the resolution has become more important amidst the increasingly widespread forms of hate speech against Muslims. The third news. Head of the National Food Agency, Arif Prasetyo Adi, highlighted Indonesia's strategy to address food loss and waste during the United Nations Food System Summit plus two stock stacking moment in Rome, Italy, on Wednesday. In a statement received on Thursday, Adi said that during the summit, he emphasized the importance of global collaboration to reduce food loss and waste, as well as the risk of food scarcity and malnutrition. Globally, approximately 14% of the food produced is lost between harvest and retail, while an estimated 17% of the total global food production is wasted, comprising 11% in households, 5% in the food service sector, and 2% in retail, according to the UN. He noted that Indonesia has identified several policies to address the issue, including charging behavior, strengthening regulation, optimizing funding for handling food loss and waste, conducting research and development, and preparing a food loss and waste database. The fourth news. China is willing to deepen strategic cooperation with Indonesia, state media cited President Xi Jinping as saying on Thursday. She made the remarks in a meeting with President Joko Widodo in the southwestern Chinese city of Chengdu, CCTV reported. She told Jokowi that China and Indonesia should ensure the high-standard completion of the Jakarta-Bandung high-speed railway as it nears commercial operation. The high-speed rail, a flagship project of the Indonesian president and part of China's Belt and Road Initiative, was set back by budgetary problems and already 4 years behind schedule. According to Xi, China is also willing to expand imports of Indonesia bulk commodities and agriculture products. He also highlighted areas for cooperation such as new energy automobiles as well as smart cities. The fifth news. The Indonesian government has prepared 8 trillion rupiah to anticipate any food shortages caused by the El Nino phenomenon, which is predicted to peak in August until September 2023. Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan announced after attending the 4th ASEAN Architects Congress in Makassar, South Sulawesi on Thursday, that the government has prepared the budget considering concerns over food shortages that could be caused by a potential drought triggered by the weather phenomenon. Furthermore, to maintain purchasing power and control food inflation, the government has extended the rice assistance program to 21.3 million beneficiary families. The rice assistance will be distributed in October, November, and December this year. The sixth news. A small Philippine ferry turned upside down when passengers suddenly crowded to one side in panic as fierce winds pummeled the wooden vessel, and at least 26 people died, while 40 others were rescued. Officials said on Friday, Coast Guard and police said search and rescue efforts had resumed after a pause Thursday night. Officials said it remained unclear how many people were aboard the MB Princess Aya, which capsized Thursday in Laguna de Bay in Rizal Province east of Manila. The officials said at a news conference that the accident happened only about 46 meters from shore. Sea accidents are common in Philippine archipelago because of frequent storms, badly maintained boats, overcrowding, and weak enforcement of safety regulations. In December 1987, the ferry Dona Paz sank after colliding with a fuel tanker, killing more than 4,300 people in the world's worst peacetime maritime disaster. And the final news. UN Chief Antonio Guterres on Thursday pleaded for immediate radical action on climate change, saying that record-shattering July temperatures show Earth has passed from a warming phase into an era of global boiling. Speaking in New York, the Secretary General described the intense heat across Northern Hemisphere as a cruel summer. Guterres said that the extreme impacts of climate change have been in line with scientists' prediction and repeated warnings. Ahead of the Climate Ambition Summit he is set to host in September. Guterres called on developed countries to commit to achieving carbon neutrality as close to 2040 as possible, and for emerging economies as close as possible to 2050. And that was the news.
This commentary is on Korea marks 70 years of armistice. South Korea and North Korea commemorated the 70th anniversary of the Korean War armistice on Thursday, July the 27th. To commemorate the event, which is considered a victorious moment in the Fatherland Liberation War by North Korea, the country invited officials from its two close allies, namely China and Russia. North Korean state media KCNA highlighted the arrival and warm welcome of North Korean officials to the Chinese delegation led by Lee Hong-sung, a Politburo member of the Chinese Communist Party, who arrived in Pyongyang on Wednesday. China's ruling Communist Party sent him in the hope to facilitate further bilateral exchanges. In his speech at the welcome banquet, Kim Sung-nam, director of the International Department of the Ruling Workers' Party of Korea, expressed sincere respect for China's soldiers and veterans who died helping North Korea during the war. Meanwhile, the Russian delegation, led by Defense Minister Sergei Shoigu, was welcomed at Pyongyang Airport on Tuesday, July the 25th, by senior North Korean officials, including Defense Minister Kang Sun-nam. In his remarks, Defense Minister Kang Sun-nam voiced full support for Russia's war with Ukraine and vowed to strengthen cooperation with Russia against the United States. Apart from being greeted by Kang Sun-nam, Sergei Shoigu also met North Korean leader Kim Jong-un. The two were reported to have reached a consensus on issues of common concern in the area of national security defense and in regional and international security circles. A different atmosphere was seen in South Korea, where President Yoon Suk-yeol invited dozens of foreign war veterans to honor soldiers who died in the 1950-1953 conflict. The war that left millions dead and injured has caused decades of hostility between North and South Koreas. Tensions between the two countries are in all-time high in recent years as the pace of North Korean missile tests and joint U.S.-South Korean military exercises has accelerated in a cycle of reciprocity. Observers say Kim Jong-un appears to want to use the commemoration to publicly flaunt his close ties to China and Russia. This is intended to deal with strengthened defense cooperation between South Korea, the United States, and Japan. Meanwhile, South Korean President Yoon is expected to use the commemoration to highlight North Korea's growing threat as well as strengthening international defense and its alliance with the United States. The Korean War, which began with the North Korean invasion, ended with the Armistice Agreement on July the 27, 1953. For 70 years, the two Koreas were technically still at war. It is better if this agreement is immediately replaced with a peace agreement so that the people of the two countries, who many of them still have blood relations, can be reunited. That was commentary.
Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 is coming back. This year, Voice of Indonesia International Quiz 2023 has an essay writing competition about one of Indonesia's five super priority tourism destinations: Borobudur, Lake Toba, Likupang, Mandalika, and Labuan Bajo. Choose one destination you are interested in and write an essay about it with a length of 700 to 800 words in Arial 12, then make a recording of it with your own voice and send the essay and the audio to our email voiquiz2023@gmail.com. This essay writing competition is open from April the 10th until August 20th, 2023. The selected winners, one participant for each language services, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The selected winners, one participant for each language service, will receive attractive prizes from Voice of Indonesia. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September the 11th, 2023. The winner will be announced on the 78th anniversary of Radio Republik Indonesia on September 11, 2023. For more information, please visit our website voanews.id and Facebook The Voice of Indonesia. Be prepared, who knows, you become one of the winners.
From Indonesia to the world.
I'll begin today in history with July the 28th, 1914, the start of World War I. The assassinations of the heir of the throne of Austria-Hungary, Franz Ferdinand and his wife Sophie Chotek on June 28, 1914 in Sarajevo are considered to be the trigger for the First World War. The shooter was Grafilo Princip, a Serbian nationalist. Together with other nationalists, Grafilo Princip fought to end Austro-Hungarian rule over Bosnia and Herzegovina. The head of Serbian military intelligence, Colonel Dragutin Dimitrijević, believed that independence could be realized by killing Franz Ferdinand. Austria-Hungary and many countries around the world blamed the Serbian government for the attack. Austria-Hungary also sent an ultimatum to immediately resolve this matter, but Serbia's answer was not pleasant and made the conflict escalate. As a result of no follow-up, Austria-Hungary declared war on Serbia on July 28, 1941. Switching to July 28, 2018, the longest total lunar eclipse. The Indonesian National Aeronautics and Space Institute declared a total lunar eclipse or super blood moon on July 28, 2018 to be the longest that has occurred in 100 years. The National Institute of Aeronautics and Space said that the lunar eclipse, which lasted 1 hour 42 minutes, would occur again in 2100 with the position of the moon in the middle of Earth's shadow. Lunar eclipses usually last around 60 to 70 minutes. I'll end Today in History with July the 28th, the World Nature Conservation Day. World Nature Conservation Day aims to emphasize the need to preserve a healthy environment and natural resources. World Nature Conservation Day is also an invitation to maintain the integrity of various natural components such as flora, fauna, energy sources, soil, water, and air. In addition, World Nature Conservation Day underscores the need to preserve the environment for future generations. The background for commemorating World Nature Conservation Day cannot be separated from the formation of the International Union for Conservation of Nature in 1948. That was Today in History.
dapat bersama denganmu. Cinta dipadu, oh Aziza.
You're still listening to Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. Next segment, we present you My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
In today's My Indonesia, cooperatives and SME ministry support local fashion ecosystem via Pintu Incubator, or PINTU. The Indonesian Ministry of Cooperatives and Small Medium Enterprises fully supports the development of the local fashion ecosystem via various campaigns and programs, one of which is through a training scheme in Pintu Incubator, a collaboration program between Jakarta Fashion and Food Festival, Lakon Indonesia, and the French Embassy. This year, the Pintu Incubator program invited some artists and fashion designers from France to encourage Indonesian local fashion ecosystem potential to go global. Some of them will share their experience and knowledge in various activities to Indonesian designers. The Ministry's Deputy for Small Medium Enterprises, Hanung Harimba Rahman Tuantara, said the Pintu Incubator has taken a good initiative to bring Indonesian designers so that local brands can enter the global market. Hanung explained that collaboration that involved the French government, besides providing some seasoned mentor designers, will give info about the global market development. This cooperation model has a great impact in introducing Indonesia designers to the world via France. Hanung hoped the local designers are preparing many from their skills, knowledge, and understanding on product quality to make it a global quality. According to him, the program is very important as a process to train the designers in many things. This collaboration for the local fashion industry was quite successful and can be references for other creative industry developments. Moreover, Hanung said this collaboration still has rooms to be explored, not only for fashion, but also for culinary, animation, perfume, and even technology. And that's My Indonesia.
Seluruh jiwa dan raga, jika gagal menjalin oh cinta, bisa gila jadinya. Kata orang yang bijak, lebih baik berdansa gaya cha-cha-cha-cha-cha, cha-cha gila. Kata orang yang bijak, lebih baik bercaca, caca gila, ha-ha-ha, sampai gila. Kata orang bijaksana, jangan pernah patah hati, itu kan menyakitkan sekali, bikin hidup sengsara. Lebih baik
You're still with us, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world, only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo, and also shortwave frequency 3325 kHz or 4750 kHz. Listener, next we present you a program called Indonesian Wonder that presents information about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom.
In today's Indonesian Wonder, Itukan Tradition. Listener, the community of Osing tribe in Rejo Puro Hamlet, Kampung Anyar Village, Glagah Sub-District, Banyuwangi, East Java has a unique tradition which still exists until now, namely Itukan Tradition. They hold Itukan Tradition as a form of gratitude for the blessing of abundant springs. In the Osing language, Ituk means a place to eat made of banana leaves. In this tradition, Ituk and its foods are paraded by local people with various other food menus, one of which is grilled chicken ingkung. Itukan tradition is held every 12th of Zulqaidah, the 11th month of the Hijri calendar. Apart from being a form of gratitude for the grace of the Almighty God for abundant natural resources, this tradition is also held so that people can meet each other. The tradition also teaches people to always share with others. The sense of togetherness is also continuously fostered by this tradition. In the Itukan ritual, the local people line up by wearing the typical clothing of the Osing tribe. The men wear black suits, while women wear black kebaya with Banyuwangi jari cloth. The tradition procession starts from the center of the Rejo Puro settlement towards Sumber Hajar, the main spring in the hamlet. Sumber Hajar is an important spring for the people of Rejo Puro. The source of Hajar stores abundant water. Residents use it for various daily needs, including irrigating rice field. After the people gather, they hold a prayer together near the water source. The menu that is brought is then served and eaten together. And that was Indonesian Wonder.
Berkali
Thank you for still listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia. Next program, we present you Miscellany. VOI listener, the team from Faculty of Dentistry at the University of Indonesia passed to the top 3 at Stomatological Students Clinical Skill Competition 2023. The event was held in China on June 25th until July 9, 2023. The international scientific competition was participated in by dentistry faculty of 5 countries, such as West China School of Stomatology, Sichuan University of China, Graduate School of Dentistry, Tohoku University, Japan, School of Dentistry, Seoul National University of Korea, Faculty of Dentistry, Chulalongkorn University, Thailand, and Faculty of Dentistry, the University of Indonesia. The team consisting of Ataya Angel Wardiani, Caroline Sugandi, and M. Ilham Prima Adiputra defeated 130 other participants from Japan, Thailand, and Korea. As the only representative of Indonesia, the team went through 4 stages in the competition. University of Indonesia's Faculty of Dentistry, Diani Ayu Ismaniati, said the team's success in joining the top 3 proved that her faculty was appreciated on the international level, especially when the participants were coming from prestigious and renowned universities. Well, listener, that was Miscellany from Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
hati pada diriku yang kini jauh dari dirimu. Kalau diriku ingat selalu padamu kasih yang kini jauh. Rindukah hati pada diriku yang kini jauh dari dirimu. Kalau diriku ingat selalu padamu kasih yang kini jauh.
Thank you for still listening to Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Playgo mobile app, and shortwave frequency 3325 or 4750 kHz. Listener, the next segment is a music program called Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, Voi listener. In today's edition of Music Corner, I'm going to present a folk song from Central Java entitled Japing. This song has a deep meaning of a father longing for his son who is wandering. Japing is made from woven bamboo. Some are made of pandanus with a conical shape. It is called Japing Gunung. Japing is usually used by farmers in Indonesia to protect them from the sun and rain. Here is the folk song from Central Java entitled Japing Gunung in Bossa Nova rhythm. Happy listening.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Ada
Voice of Indonesia.
Berikan satu jawaban untuk membuat diriku tenang. Hanya kau satu yang bisa membuatku damai bahagia. Untaian kata-kata terindah kan ku berikan hanya untukmu. Semua cintaku, setulus hatiku dapat.
VOI listener, now we have come to an end of the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Don't forget to follow us on social media on Facebook, The Voice of Indonesia, Twitter at VOI Indonesia, Instagram at voice.of.indonesia, and YouTube channel VOI Indonesia. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you again in another interesting edition of the English service of Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world.